we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
And man, thank you so much for joining me. I'm Michael Storm. It's at Toward Anarchy on the social media, on the X's and the Faceboxes, and in what is it? The Facebox, Facebookses, Xbox. I need to play some video. I need to buy a new Xbox. This is what you call freeform thinking. No, this is what you call somebody who's confused and can't speak clearly. on the Facebooks and everywhere else on the web, at Toward Anarchy. And while you're here, wherever you are finding me at today, click, tap, smash, do an elbow drop on that like button, whatever it takes to get it to respond. Let me know that you're out there. Show me that you care. It's the best thing that you can do to help support me. Do it now before we get into this thing, because there's a lot to talk about, and we will be going and going and going until we can't go anymore. You can always visit Amazing Fantasies in Topeka, Kansas, if you really want to support me, because that's my comic book shop, and that's where I'm at this morning. It's very early on Saturday morning, much more early than I normally am, because we have a bunch of special things going on all this weekend for the store. And so I will in a few minutes, not in a few minutes, but not too long from now, I will be at the Topeka Zoo along with many other people with a little celebration that they have going on, trying to have their basically their own little comic book convention there at the Topeka Zoo. Writers and artists, and it's not just about comic books, it's just a celebration of sort of pop culture, and it's a really fun thing that they showed up at the store one day a few weeks back and said, hey, we're doing a thing, you want to join us? And I said, sure, of course I do. And then I had to figure out how to make that happen, which is usually the case when I agree to things and I have no idea what I don't know what to expect. We haven't put ourselves out there like that, and it's all a foreign process to us from top to bottom, the location, everything. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but it'll be fun, and that's coming up here in a little while, and you won't even notice because you won't hear this until later tonight or perhaps much later after it's already been recorded, and so none of that will have any meaning for you. But if you happen to be in Topeka, Kansas on March 7th, sometime between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., stop in the Topeka Zoo and see us. That'll be fun. Say hi. I'll be hanging out there. A visit towardanarchy.com, of course. That's where you can always follow along with the show. Everything that's new, all the recent, everything is there at towardanarchy.com. You can sign up for the newsletter, win yourself a copy of Economics in One Lesson. And if we're thinking about doing this thing properly, we have a episode, it's probably 2612, it should be, that'll be the episode to associate with this one. I just had some things to chat about. Hopefully my audio's not too weird, too funky or hollow or something like that, because I am using a different microphone, but I'm not at home, and it's such a pain to take the studio microphone, because you have to take the microphone arm, the arm, and you have to take the mount, and there's all this other stuff that you have to take. And so this little setup here is nice and simple for me, really easy, and hopefully the audio is working out real well. I'm sure it'll be fine. I've used it before. It's all of these things, they're not like real studio equipment. That's the problem when you're sort of using generic computers with it, is you don't have all the luxuries of studio equipment, like meters to show what your levels are in a lot of cases. And that's a big thing. I notice it with a lot of people's content out there on the web. Their sound's not great, and they think it's the microphone, and it's the microphone placement so much more, and the volume of the microphone than it is anything. So go to towardanarchy.com to follow along. Like I said, episode 2612, there'll be a couple of things for you there to look at. And to maybe follow up on, there's a couple of links that I'll talk about, but I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on them because I really want to talk about one thing today. I want to talk about the free market and, you know, whether it exists or not. Really, that's the question. Is there such a thing as a free market? And if so, what exactly is it, and what does it mean to us? What's the importance of it? And we'll just see, because I asked a bunch of other people. I tell you these things all the time. So what I did is I went out and I asked a bunch of other people just this sort of basic question, what is the free market to you? And so we'll see what a bunch of those answers are and discuss the rest of the – it's not a complicated topic. It's one of these topics that when we get to it here in a minute – you'll recognize as an argument that I make fairly regularly in accepting the free market and accepting a lot of things that we have to deal with. So we will do that, but there's a couple other things that I want to chat about on the way there because there's so much going on. And so I thought it'd be, of course, important to maybe look at some of the economic things that are happening and the political things that are going on. Of course, there's a war since the last time we talked, except that it's not called a war, and that's because the Dow is over 50,000, so we don't call them wars anymore when the Dow is over 50,000. They're just limited something or others, preventative, not an attack, not war. Congress doesn't need to be involved. I saw a thing that Independence Institute or Reason Magazine, somebody like that did. It was probably Reason. And maybe if I can find it, maybe if I can pull it up, I'll run it for you. But it was just a funny little thing going back years talking about World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War, some things like that, and what they were called, you know, because the Korean War was a police action, right? And Vietnam was, I don't, what was Vietnam? A limited engagement, something like that. And they're just using all these euphemisms to describe what is otherwise what we would call, what any normal person would call, war. When you're dropping missiles out of the sky and blowing up somebody's home, that's war. People don't do that to each other. The state does that. The state causes people to do that to each other. And along with that, of course, comes the politics. And it's funny because I saw a bunch of people this past week who are they're just sort of happy about themselves, so happy about their voting record. That was what was going around on the social media. It's, oh, my voting record, because they're talking about, well, I didn't vote for Trump, or I didn't vote for Biden, or I didn't vote for this clown. And so they're sort of showing, you know, the last 30 years or whatever of their voting, depending on how old they are and how far it goes back. And so I took mine all the way back to the mid-90s. Basically right after I could first vote, not the first election I could have voted in, but the first election that I was encouraged to vote in at all. And I didn't. And then every single subsequent presidency after that, I didn't. In fact, I campaigned for Ron Paul in the 2012 election and I still didn't vote. Because I knew that my vote would be wasted. What a pointless exercise. I slept in that day, and I slept in well, and it felt good. And I laughed at my neighbor who got up early to go vote. And to go vote for some socialist piece of garbage, too, as opposed to supporting the only freedom candidate, if you will, that was in the election at the time. But, yeah, 2012, I campaigned for Ron Paul. I went to the Republican convention in Colorado, the Colorado one, and I stood outside in a orange jumpsuit and shackles and handcuffs and shackles, completely shackled. and campaigned for Ron Paul. But I didn't vote for him. I didn't bother to get up and go to the polls. By then, of course, they had all, by the time it would have got around to the voting anyway, they had already destroyed him. They had the Republican Party had turned their backs on him, and they weren't going to give him their support, and it just wasn't working out. There was no chance that he was going to get elected anyway. There was never a chance that he was going to get elected. The man spent 30 years in Congress and didn't change a single thing, and they called him Dr. No, the guy that was fighting against everything that all the other socialists were trying to enact, and he didn't stop a single thing, not at all. All he did was manage to do what any, I guess, whatever the word means, good politician would do, and that's get some money and resources for his constituents, and that's the long and short of it, I guess. That was his career. You know, war is the health of the state. That was Randolph Bourne that said that. And it's an absolute fact that the war is the health of the state. What do we have going on right now? We have a collapsing economy. Not an economy that's recovering, not an economy that's sliding. We have an economy that is rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. As the song goes, and or saying goes, that maybe was turned into a song, probably a saying before a song, but at any rate, it's a great time. Well, I went rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell, with no kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. Oh, God, I haven't heard that song in forever, and I wasn't quite on key, was I? It wasn't so far off, but what a fun song. But it says everything that it needs to say about our economy, rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. And so what is war, what is it good for? It's great for distracting you from an economy that's collapsing and the fact that your criminal, murderous, scumbag leaders, I'm doing the Nixon quote thing there, where leaders, really, these people are leaders. They abuse and murder children for fun. It's a party thing that they do. They throw great big parties. They want to throw the biggest party ever. If you know, you know. If you don't, you don't. If you're not paying attention, don't bother. You won't learn anything. It'll just scare most of you because there's nothing you can do about it. These people are psychopaths. These people are murderers. There is a murderous, satanic, baby-killing cult that rules the world. And for some of us, this is not new information. For everybody who's listening across the network, this is not new information. This may be new information from some of you, and it may take a while for it to settle and to set in and for you to really realize exactly what it is that's happening. But really, it's okay, because it's really, all you have to do is stay away from them. And keep an eye on your children, and you will be fine. It's crazy that the psychopaths rule the world, but it only makes sense when you look at it from an anarchist perspective. When you look at it from a societal perspective and a sociologist perspective, a psychologist perspective, any one of those would tell you why the psychopaths rule. And why they are in charge and why they are attracted to positions of power, politics, places where they can put themselves in the position, in the best positions to take advantage of people, to harm people, to do the nefarious things that they do. And one of the best ways to protect yourself, to insulate yourself from the useless dictates of the state, which they're all useless. Obviously, they don't stop anyone from doing anything, right? Just writing something down on a piece of paper doesn't stop anyone from doing anything. So these useless dictates from the state, that's what they are. But the easiest way to get around them is to become a member of the state, to be somebody who makes those decisions, to be somebody in power, or to buy a member of the state or more of them, as many of them as you can get in your back pocket because you're rich. To insulate you, not protect you. There's no protection. Trump learned that you know, a few months back before the election, he learned that. He learned that no one is safe out there, and that's part of the reason that he's gone the way he's gone. He was already insane and probably a narcissist and megalomaniacal. There you go. I'm surprised I was able to spit that word out. It's a little too early. It's really early for me. The sun hasn't even come up. I'm not even seeing any sunshine yet. It's close, though. It's getting real close to that time. Listen, there's no solution in the state. It's just a bunch of liars and thieves and murderers, and none of the votes. Your voting record isn't going to change anything. It's not going to make anything better. And they're going to continue to wage wars to distract us from the fact that Congress isn't going to prosecute any of the people in power who are on the Epstein list. And we only have half of the, whatever you want to call it, a list at this point. The files now, the great big distraction that everybody has been involved in. And now that they're waging a war to distract everybody from. Yeah, maybe a little bit. No, really, the war is about the economy, and it's about Iran trying to assassinate Donald Trump, supposedly. They've made that claim. And true or not, makes no difference. He's going to do what he wants to do. There's so much of this insanity, and a lot of it is tied to the economics. So, of course, the government shed a whole bunch of voters since Trump took over in office, 386,826 voters, which is crazy because we talked about it before, and I talked about there having to be significant numbers of people, like hundreds of thousands of people, slashed from the payrolls of the U.S. government, the federal government, for it to make any difference whatsoever in terms of the money that's spent. Well, what's crazy is that they fired all these people, got rid of all these people, shed this number of jobs. 386,826 is the number, I believe. And supposedly, those jobs are just gone. Those people are gone. But where'd the money go? The money certainly didn't come back. We're in more debt than we've ever been. The government is spending more money than it's ever spent. Of course, I told you this. This is exactly what the plan was, that this is what it would happen if the exactly what's happening now. The whole war thing is a given. At some point, any point, it's an option for any of the presidents, and they all wage them, and they all wage them on their own levels and for their own reasons, not for good reasons, not for reasons of protecting Americans and freedom, certainly not. And it's not, of course not, because the argument is that they're protecting the freedoms of the people in Iran and freeing the Middle East and protecting Israel and doing all these things to protect all these people, but they don't protect their own people here at home. We have ICE, we have an unregulated central authority, federal police force that is running roughshod all over the nation, killing people, arresting people. And the sad part about it is even the people that are supposedly paying attention and who get that this is all problematic and that this is not a good thing, that there's nothing good about this police force and this president and their powers and the things that they're running around the nation doing, no matter how you look at it. Even if you hate immigrants, even if you hate brown people, if you hate every single other person on the planet, there's nothing good about what is happening with this unregulated federal police force that's taking over and the federalizing of policing in general. They're basically saying that the states, we don't care if the states don't do what we want them to do. We will send our federal police force in there and we will arrest citizens. We will kill citizens. We will do whatever the hell we want when we want to do it. There's nothing good about that. Not in any sense of the word. Even if this wasn't America, if this was goddamn Nazi Germany, or Maoist China or any other dictatorship in the world. It wouldn't be good then. It's not good now. It wouldn't be good before the dictatorship took over. None of this is a good thing. And of course, that I'm not even getting into the ratcheting effect and what happens when the next clown gets in power and decides that he's going to run roughshod and do whatever he wants to do with the federal police force. What are you going to do when they start rounding up Christians? You guys have been talking about that stuff for years. You Christians have been talking about that for years. I know there's a bunch of you across the network that are Christian. And what are you going to do about it? Because that's what's going to happen. They're going to say that you're the evil. And right now they're couching this war apparently through the military. The military are being told that this is a holy war, that this is a righteous war, that this is something that God wants Trump to do. You know, we're doing the whole Bush thing all over again and waging war and presidents before that and presidents before that. So people everywhere are talking about what's going on with ICE, and they're having a conversation, and even the smartest people are getting it wrong because they still don't get the difference between what a crime is and what a claim of a crime is by the state. And these are things that we talk about all the time, of course. And it's crazy because you know the name Michael Malice, right? You've heard this name before. So if you've heard the name before, you may or may not know who he is. I didn't know who he was a couple years ago, the first time I ever heard him. He was on the Joe Rogan show, and I'm listening to the two of them talk. I don't remember anything particular or specific about the conversation. It was just your typical, you know, 2 hour, 2.5 hour, 3 hour long rambling fest of nonsense that happens on the Joe Rogan show between any given guest. I'm not saying that that's what happens the entire time, but any given guest, it can end up being that. And that's what happened again here the other day when this Michael Malice was on Rogan. But the first time that I heard him a couple of years on Rogan, the first time a couple of years ago, it was crazy because I'm listening to the conversation and I distinctly remember thinking as the two of them are talking back and forth, and it's something about the state and it's something about recognizing that the state is at the heart of all of the problems, but they're not recognizing that part. They're doing everything they can not to say that the state is to blame. And it's amazing. It amazes me how people dance around the topic of the state being responsible for any number of the ills that we experience, the problems that we are having as people and as a society in America because of the state, and around the world because of the state, all states everywhere. And so I was, oh wow, that's crazy. This guy right here, he almost sounds like an anarchist. This guy's like a week away, you know, one voting session away, one failed politicking away from realizing that he's an anarchist. And then, of course, I find out later who the guy is, and he is this anarchist, I guess, escaped from, you know, socialism and, whatever. He's got a great life story behind him. I don't really know what it is. I don't care. That was the thing about it. When I heard him, I don't care. He's just some other guy. He's just having a conversation. And of course, I'm thinking to myself, man, Joe, you ought to have yourself a real anarchist on. You ought to have somebody like me on there who will actually tell you that the state is at the heart of the problem. If you challenge me on it, I'll tell you exactly why the state is at the heart of the problem. You may not believe it. You may not want to hear it, but I tell you that. And I just think, you know, what would it be like to sit down on Rogan with an actual anarchist, not a Dave Smith libertarian, not a Michael Malice so-called anarchist, and I'd say why, because, okay, so I get this impression listening to this show, and I think I talked about it years ago when I actually saw it. It's that I'm probably on record somewhere about it because it struck me as such a thing that this guy calls himself an anarchist, and Joe thinks he's an anarchist and has him on his big show and on the his platform and all this. And the guy sitting there basically just making excuses for the state, as most statists just tend to do. And so this strikes me as this guy's almost an anarchist. And then he's calling himself an anarchist. I find this out later that he calls himself an anarchist. And I think to myself, wow, how can that be? Because the things that I heard this guy saying, they were shy of anarchists. They were libertarian, wishy-washy libertarian at best. And so it just stuck with me that, this Michael Malice guy, he must not be a much of a real anarchist. He must just be another political talking head, not quite associated with the right. And somebody even pointed that out to me after I had made a statement about it here, this recent appearance on the Rogan show. And then somebody else made a mention about that he had written a book in this time period, I guess. I don't know. And don't really care, but there is a point here. And the point is never about them. And that's what it's about. Whoever, you just slap a name on him, I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not about this guy, this Michael Malice. It's not about Rogan. It's about this attitude. It's about the lack of the conversation. It's about the people who claim to be something that they're not. And it's funny because people follow them and they fall right in line. And if you suggest to these people that the person that they like, that they think is this the greatest thing since sliced bread, whatever it is, the best representative for their viewpoint, that has a voice and a platform that's out there, and then you hear what they actually do and what they actually say, and you find out that what is it that these people believe? Because the first response I get to my pointing out the fact that this guy isn't an anarchist, that he lacks a certain moral fortitude and clarity when it comes to talking about what anarchy really is. He's against the state that he doesn't like most statists, or even anarchist light or libertarian or whatever you want to call them. They just don't get the full sense of what's wrong here. And in regard to ICE and what's happening around the nation, basically he and Joe were sitting there praising what ICE is doing. So right away, that he's a bordertarian. He's somebody who thinks that the federal government should dictate what happens at the border, and that apparently it should be okay for ICE to run around. Because they didn't say that they shouldn't be doing this. They said that they basically were stating that they should be more careful about it, and that they should make it. Because what they were, the conversation is about, what they were really talking about is these numbers that have come out, that are the numbers that are supposedly related to the whole, what it is the mission for ICE is, and who it is that they're arresting, and what are the percentages of them being criminals, and particularly violent criminals. And so they're going through these various numbers, and the reality is that most of the people that ICE is chasing after, the basis for them chasing after them is that they've crossed the border. That's it. They've tried to slap some, and they even will see, they gaslight you about it when you ask any of them about it. If you question what it is the criminals that they're rounding up, well, they're criminals because they cross that imaginary line, and they say that a lot, even though that's not the question that's being asked of them, and they know it. They're very well familiar with what question is being asked. They want to know, are these people violent? Do we actually need to use violence to do something about these people? And these scumbags in uniform, these military people, these mouths for the administration, whatever, they're real pieces of garbage, these people. All of them, the entire administration, it's one of the worst ever. It's one of the worst in history. There's no question about this. These people are insane, and they have no business telling anybody what they should be doing with their lives, let alone having their finger on the bomb. But so there, we have this conversation, And even the best of these people, supposedly, the people that are putting on these airs, they're putting on an appearance that they are something that they're not. And they have a conversation with a Joe Rogan, and they're talking about this as if it's a good thing, and they're not saying that it shouldn't be done, and they're not saying that there shouldn't be any excuse, and that there never should be any violation of any citizens and people, especially when you're looking for immigrants. The second you find out somebody's a citizen, I don't care, they should be freed. But they shouldn't be rounding them up anyway, because we already know that there's no mandate for them to in our Constitution. There is nothing that suggests that we have to protect the border from people who just want to work, who just come across. The other arguments about the money and about the voting and messing with the voting pool, that's problems with our system, not those people. Those people will not come here enticed by that. If that's your argument, that that's what brings them here, is the free handouts and the fact that they can be involved in the political system when they can't. There's actually a provision for that part in the Constitution. It says, well, not in the Constitution, but there's those documents out there, those laws that make it clear that only citizens can vote. That's fine. Whatever. That's great. That's an argument that you can make. That is a problem with this system, not a problem with those people. Those people aren't criminals because they come here and take advantage of a system that is criminal. They're ignorant. They're like a whole lot of Americans. You want to do something about the problems with the system, the things that bring foreign people here to our land to take advantage. It's not our land. It's not yours. To take advantage of the system, fix the system. And if you say to me, well, why don't they fix their system? Well, you are just using a logical fallacy, one of many that get used in these arguments, and I just don't care. I don't even have the time to listen to people like this anymore. I never did, and I'm not going to start now. So Michael Malice and Rogan are talking, and Malice says that DUI is a violent crime, because they're talking about these percentages of crimes, what they are, the percentage of people that have certain crimes that they're rounding up, that ICE is rounding up, and DUI is, you know, is on the list, and there's some percentage, whatever it is. And so they're talking specifically about that. They're not saying it's wrong. They're not saying it's bad. They're not saying that the state makes claims against people like DUI that are, if we must, victimless crimes. They're crimes fabricated by the state. There's no victim. There's no damages. Nothing has happened to anyone. So DUI being called a violent crime is, let's just say, Michael Malice, a misnomer. It's not quite right. It's not exactly what you're trying to say, because the fact is that the state makes the claim of DUI against many, many, many people who have never harmed anyone, who've never been in an accident, who've never committed a real crime, a violation of another person or their property. DUI, that is a violent crime. That is what Michael Malice said to Joe Rogan. It's not. It can be a potentially violent act that becomes criminal, but in fact, the intention is the opposite. So what we're talking about here when we're talking about DUI, we're talking about intent. The intent is not to harm someone. The intent of the person who is driving drunk is to get home in one piece with their car undamaged without harming anyone else. That's a very safe and basic thing that I have no problem saying, because it makes sense, because it's the reality, right? They're not getting in their car going, God, I'm going to kill somebody today. I hope this is it. This is the day. This is my weapon. I'm out there on the road and here I go. It's literally the opposite of that. And so what we're talking about is intent. And what happens a lot of times, intent is a matter of the law. there's a reason why intent is understood to be a part of the law, because it's the difference between manslaughter and murder is what you're talking about. It's the difference between an accident and a deliberate act. It is intent. And so a lot of people, when I say that DUI is not a crime, that violating other people and their property is a crime. So DUI is not a crime without an accident, without a violation of some other person or their property. DUI is not a crime. Somebody has to say, invariably, every single time. This is not something that just happened once. This is something that happens every single time that this subject comes up. And this subject comes up a lot because I use it as a really good example because people are wrong on it. And the fact is that when somebody says DUI is not a crime, somebody says, well, is pointing a gun at or shooting randomly at someone or out in public or something, would that be a crime? Because that's what you're doing that's like a loaded gun when you get in the car. Wrong. A gun is for killing. Okay? Absolutely. That's what a gun is made for. They're not made. You can say defense, but the defense thing comes along with the understanding that you may have to kill someone in your own defense. So a gun is made for killing. All right. Handguns are made for killing. Ain't no good for nothing else. That's what Lynyrd Skynyrd said in the song. And they're right. I don't like the song. I think it's a bad example of what we would call gun control, gun safety, a smart use of guns, and a description of the value of the firearm. But it's right in that sense that that's what guns are for. They're made for killing. And so it's not, cars aren't made for killing. Cars are made for transporting people from one place to another. So putting yourself drunk behind the wheel of a car is not the same thing as loading a gun and then going out into public, because the intent is completely the opposite. Loading a gun, first of all, making the argument that pointing a gun or shooting at someone randomly is the same thing as a DUI or someone driving while drunk. It's a logical fallacy. Right off, it's a logical fallacy. It's the argumentum ad absurdum. It is taking the argument to the most absurd level because you know you're right. The only time you do that is because the person is right and you're trying to move the goalpost so far away. And I got accused of moving the goalpost away because I said it was the difference between manslaughter and murder, and that it's about intent. They move the goalposts so far away so as to pretend that they've removed themselves from the real conversation. Well, if you can pretend that you removed yourself from the conversation of this and taken it to this other space, then obviously those two things don't follow. It's a non sequitur. It is a non sequitur that driving a car drunk is the same thing as taking a loaded weapon out into public and firing it around willy-nilly, or even just sticking it in somebody's face, because the intent is entirely different. It just amazes me how it happens, how so many times it's happened that I've had this conversation and somebody multiple times, even in the last conversation, it was like every third person or something that's exactly what they said, pointing a gun at somebody. It's like pointing a gun at somebody or shooting randomly into traffic. No, it's not. It's not the same thing at all, because intent matters. Absolutely, intent matters. Or what's the point of the law? You just make accusations and kill everybody that you think has violated you. There's no point in polite society. You just go around killing everybody. That's chaos. That's not anarchy. That's not a republic. That's not even a democracy, even a pretend broken-ass one like the one that we have. It's none of those things, and it's really kind of sad. And it's all about legal and illegal, right? So DUI is an illegal thing because the state says it is, not because it's a violation of somebody necessarily. But I'm sick of the word illegal. I'm seriously enough with the word illegal already. It's completely meaningless at this point, more so now than it is or ever has been. It was always illegal. And as soon as I say that, I know there's somebody right now that's going, what do you mean illegal? They're illegal because they're illegal. I'm not talking about illegals. I'm not talking about the people coming across the border. I'm talking about the word illegal in general and the use of it and saying that things are illegal when your goddamn politicians are and the richest people in the nation are running a child murdering ring, not to mention all the other things that are going on with it. And they have been for decades, and they've been participating in it, and they won't prosecute each other from it. Do you think that their claims of what's legal and illegal matter anymore at this point, when that's not me moving the goalpost? That's not me using an absurd argument and taking things to the furthest away argument that I can get it. This is happening. This actually is happening. They're not doing anything about it. Have you read these files? Have you even just glanced at some of these things? I could have told you these things were happening. I could have told you these things have been happening for decades and decades. I've understood about these. All you have to do is take the wrong path down the internet. Just take the wrong freaking link one day down the internet, and all of a sudden you're in a whole different place. And most of you have never been on a 4chan. Most of you have never been on a 4chan back before they took them over and turned them into basically just weak, lame versions of Facebook, which is saying a lot because Facebook's pretty weak and lame. But as far as controlling the content that comes through them and the conversations and the information and the things that were being revealed in there, it's no worse or no better than any of the places on the internet. You have to take the information with a grain of salt. But the fact is, if you've never taken any trips to the underground internet, you don't understand what's going on out there. You don't get it. You don't get that there are people everywhere all around the world who are happy to harm other people and they don't care. And a lot of them are doing it for weird, esoteric reasons, religion and beauty. you don't want to know. You really don't want to know this stuff. And because you don't want to know this stuff, you don't realize that it's more prevalent than you think. That there are more people out there abusing people of all ages, but children in particular, so much more than you think. And those of you who don't understand any of it at all, you don't understand that it's mothers and fathers at the heart of it, that they're the first in line and that they're the most dangerous for these children, that it's the ones that disappear that get the press. It's the ones that, oh, this person went astray and left the family and they didn't feel good and the family didn't want them to go and blah, 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 that gets harmed and ends up, you know, on an Epstein list or whatever it is. And these are the people that get talked about. But the reality of it is the people who are turned out by their own parents, that are abused by their own parents, that are given over to the friends of the parents as debt or any number of other things. You just don't realize, and it's scary. But these people are doing this. This is happening. This is a real thing that has happened, and it's illegal. All of these things they're doing are illegal. But it hasn't stopped any of them. In fact, because of their grasp of power and money, it's bolstered them. They've helped create a shield for themselves with the law and from the law. So they use the law to shield themselves, and then they use their wealth and their power and their control to shield themselves from the law. It's a great little trick that they have, and you know, money and politics can buy you those sorts of things. You know, if drugs weren't illegal, there would be no cartels. You wouldn't have the things that are happening in places like Mexico, where you had this thing in Puerto Vallarta going on and the lockdown and the, you know, all the problems that are happening in Mexico here over the last couple of weeks. that have made the news, but these things have obviously they've been going on for years. If drugs weren't illegal, there'd be no more cartels. There'd just be legitimate business people competing for customers, and the, you know, the free hand of the market, the free market. It has to, it helps regulate these things through the natural process of you must provide good product and good service to stay in good business and good standing with your customers. And if you want to get new customers, I'm a businessman. I know how it works. And so if it really, truly, if drugs, you want me to say it another way, because I know there are people, as soon as I say that, they're like, well, the cartel also deals in avocados. Well, that's another captured market. Avocados only grow in certain places, and it's not the avocados that they get the money from. It's the coveting of the land that the avocados are grown on that they get the money from. So it's their control over a place. If avocados grew in other places, better in other places, they wouldn't be able to control it. Are they able to control it because of either government ignoring it, government being powerless to stop it, or government being behind it? Either way, a black market in trade, the black market is at the center of it, right? So, okay, so if I say it differently, will it make you feel better about it if you think that black markets and the cartels don't go away when you make things legal? They obviously do. We already know this. Prohibition is the perfect example of that. We know that there was some level of lawlessness and craziness that was happening in America, on American streets, during Prohibition, that created gangsters, that empowered gangsters, that enriched gangsters, and then in turn enriched the state to go after those gangsters, and it was because something was illegal. That's it. We have an example of it. It's the same with the drug problem. Those things, nothing goes away if the things themselves don't go away. If the drugs don't go away, then the problems with drugs don't go away. But you can minimize the problems of drugs by minimizing the impact that the individual drug user and his problems with drugs have on people and on the system. You understand that, right? The less they impact us, the less it is a problem for anybody else but the individuals who are into the drugs and into the problem, that have the troubles. This is a very simple and easy thing to understand. We have examples through it of it throughout history. But let me say it to you just slightly differently so it makes you feel a little bit better about it. If drugs were not illegal, there would be no black market for them. And cartels would not be empowered and enriched by the illegal trade. That's it. You can't deny that argument. You can make an argument that some other cartel or some other power comes up and takes control of things. Well, that's government. That's the pro-state government. That's the government argument. That's the somebody's always going to be in control. The losing argument. The loser's argument. I use that language with quite a few people that I spoke to about this. That it's loser language. And that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the show when I mentioned that it's something that we go over on a fairly regular basis, because I think it's a pretty important point, is that so many times we've lost the argument before the argument has ever even begun. And I'll explain that here in just a second, but I want to take a moment, because I hadn't thought about it to do it yet, and just remind you to support the network. I've mentioned people across the network and listeners, and it's amazing. I am a part of a network, and if you if you continue to excuse me. If you continue to listen to the network today and continue to listen to this show and through the show into the second hour, you get a great conversation with the one-armed madman. Otherwise, if you're outside the network, if you're listening to the show somewhere else, YouTube or CastBox or whatever it happens to be, just look for the next episode in line. So, and it'll be there. It'll be the conversation, and we can have, it's going to be a good conversation. On the network, you'll join it already in progress, but you won't miss anything out of it. And it's a good conversation. It always is with the one-armed man. But thinking of the one-armed man coming up at the top of the hour here, it reminds me that, yes, I am on a network, and I appreciate the fact that I'm on a network, and I do it for free. I do it for fun. I do it to help them fill the space, because I'm just one voice of many across Republic Broadcasting Network, and it's a pleasure to be able to do it and to be there every week. So I appreciate you helping support the network, republicbroadcasting.org. Go there and click on that donate button, and a couple of clicks from that, you're making a one-time donation, a regular donation. Listeners across the network have been doing it for years. The network has been here 20 years. It's been a long time. And I've been here for a lot of it. And it's been great, and it's been fun, and it's nice to know that there's a place that you can come and you can have these conversations, and they're outside the normal. There's no expectation. There's no control. There's no manipulation of the voices and who's saying what and the topics that they're having. So your support of the network is key. Just click that donate button and make it real simple. Otherwise, you can visit shoprbn.com, and that's the win-win. You support the advertisers by buying their products and their services, and they just continue to advertise. I know it sounds simple and sounds like you've heard it before, but you need to hear it again. You need to know that the conversation is so much more important to be had right now, and it has to be had in a place where you know that even if you don't believe what the people are saying, you know that they believe it, and they're saying what is truth, and that nobody is telling them that they have to say it, or that they can't say it, or that they have to say it a certain way. And that's what I experience across Republic Broadcasting Network. They let me say, I voluntarily make it a PG-13 presentation to make it accessible to the rest of the world and to a larger audience. But they don't tell me that I can't speak in a certain way or that I can't talk about certain topics. So if I said these things about the things being illegal, drugs, cartels, if I say it differently, does it make you feel better? Did that make you feel better in the way I said that and the way I presented it the second time? Because that's a bit of a hard statement. It's something that people who don't understand economics, people who don't understand the law and our system the way it is, when you say that if drugs weren't legal, there'd be no cartels. That's a pretty carte blanche statement, and so I'll take it back. I'll take it back and just alter it just a little bit. If drugs weren't illegal, there wouldn't be a black market for them. The cartels, you know, some of them are kind of cartoonish. The cartels, they wouldn't be empowered or enriched by the illegal trade, and that's the bottom line of it. And then, of course, that brings us to the free trade conversation, and we'll just spend the last, you know, 7 or 8 minutes talking about that here, because amazingly enough, the show is almost over again, except there's a whole second hour if you're listening on the network. Otherwise, you just click, you go to TornAnarchy.com or wherever you're listening, Spotify or whatever, you just pull up another episode and listen to that. But on the network, there is another hour coming up, and there's a great conversation coming up for you. So stick around at the top of the hour when we get there, even if I just roll right through it, which I may just even do. It just depends on where I'm at in the conversation. Because there's only a handful of points that I really want to make about this, because I guess it depends on who you ask or what the free market is. There's some people that say that it's about just simple free and individual exchange. That's me. That's real simple. Some people call capitalism free markets, and then of course some people will argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And some say that capitalism is a system, and that the free market is an as a lack of a system, and that the free market is for corporations, and that a free market, as we understand it, that corporations couldn't exist in a free market because they require government authorization or something like that, which is just ridiculous. I've tried to explain this to so many times. We've been over this, and it really is one of these things that some people just don't get it. It's real simple. And if you don't get it, it means you're a simple person. I can't put it any other way. Well, I could say you're just retarded, and that's fine. It just means you're slow. It just means you don't get it. And you can. It doesn't mean that there's not a potential for it, but you don't get it at this point. Corporations are not a product of government. Government has usurped the idea of incorporation because it brings it power and control. But people outside of a government system in anarchy, people would still want to pool their resources and pool their wealth and create organizations. That's all corporation is. It's a legal organization with a name, and you birth life into it because it's not alive. But it is alive because it represents the lives of real people, the people who created it and the people who work for it. Stop saying that corporations are a product of government. They're not, you economically ignorant tard. Can I be any clearer? I get tired of it because it's a stupid, stupid argument. And it's a loser's argument. Do you not understand that when you argue using their language and giving them power, that you've already lost the argument? If you argue that voluntary association and the pooling of resources to create something that doesn't exist wouldn't exist without corporate state sponsorship, you're an idiot. The free market can absolutely provide all the legitimate non-redistributive services provided by the monopoly government better, faster, and cheaper without waste, fraud, abuse, and extortion. These are just some of the people responding to me about what their impression of the free market is. Some people think that it's captured and exploited. Absolutely it is, but that doesn't mean that the free market is bad. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't practice the things that keep the free market as free as it could possibly be. Some people say it's an imaginary ideal that exists nowhere on the planet Earth. And these people are losers. These people have given up. They don't understand. I deal in free market all day long. No third party interferes with the transactions that I have. Yes, they extort me in the transaction if it's an above board transaction, and all my transactions are above the board. Then there's some manipulation, but that's theft. That's not a manipulation of the market. Their interference in the market, their theft, didn't make the decision between me and the individual to exchange goods, services, currencies with each other at all. At all. The free market exists. If you don't think the free market exists, you lost. You gave up to them. Some people think it's as simple as if you want it, you have it, I want it. I want it, you have it. We shake hands. That's a trade. I think that's a fantastic way to explain it, because it is. That's all that matters. Those other interventions into it are facts of life that, taken to the next logical level, you do something about using violence to stop them from doing it. Short of doing that, you accept that there are ways of doing business, even if it's like gangsters, there are ways of doing business in this system where they will leave you alone. You pay them the tribute money and they will leave you alone. That's not the free market. That's government-controlled socialist redistribution of wealth markets, fake markets that don't have any real bearing on the important point of asking what is the free market. Does the free market exist? It's not regulated by government, people will want to say. Right. Well, that makes sense. That's the freest market that you could possibly get, is when there's no third party with power over the trade, let alone interference in the trade. Interference in the trade is one thing, but power over the trade to make entire decisions about what happens in the trade, that's completely different. Some people just call it anarchy. It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to somebody on the left. They obviously don't know what it means. It's voluntary transactions. It's no taxes. It's the same as the drug market for the past 40 years, somebody mentioned. I think that's great because that's exactly that. The black market in drugs is created because drugs are illegal. And so the free market trade in drugs isn't a free market. It's still manipulated and controlled by those guys who run things, but it's a free market between myself and the drug dealer. And I got to go see him. I'm running out of time. We are at the end of this hour. I got to wrap this up. We'll pick up the conversation again, as we always do. You'll visit towardanarchy.com, sign up for the email list, click that like button wherever you're seeing this. And if you're on the network, stick around because I have a conversation with the one armed madman coming up next. Until then, take care.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy.